So, as David's mentioned, you can see items appearing around the cross here. And that's what we've been doing over the last few weeks and we'll continue to do for the next couple of weeks, is to think about the cross. I think I mentioned as we started this series, we quite often kind of think of Easter as just a couple of days. But if we're going to do this justice, if we spend a few weeks, the weeks before Easter, thinking about the cross, the things that happened around the cross, the items that were used during that time. But then also as we study during Lent, those of you who are going to a house group will be doing a series of studies, and we're using a series as well to lead us on a Sunday morning. So the readings this morning, two different readings, and then a song, Mary, Did You Know? Think about this young couple turning up to the temple for a routine thanksgiving for their firstborn. And on the way in, they meet two wise and elderly prophets. And these prophets have been waiting and praying for the Messiah day after day, year after year. And then suddenly, they go slightly crackers. They wasn't just like, oh yes, that's very nice. You've got your baby. How lovely. Praise God. No, they probably went a little bit bananas. They probably jumped around a little bit. They probably shouted out, this is the one. This is the Messiah. God had spoken to them. God had showed them that this baby was the one. I'm sure Mary and Joseph were a little bewildered, to say the least. What was all this about? And it's moments like these that probably had a lasting impact on Mary. Mary, it says at the beginning of the Gospels, treasured these things in her heart. It's as though she was getting these little bits of information and piecing together this jigsaw, these bits of information. But I think she probably had to wait till after Jesus' death and resurrection, until we read in the Acts of the ultimate plan that God revealed. Maybe suddenly all the different things that had happened made sense to Mary at that time. But it's interesting, Matthew Henry's commentary on Simeon reminds us of the importance of what Simeon is now willing to say. He says, after he's blessed Jesus, after he's talked to Joseph and Mary, Lord, I can go home now in peace. I've seen what you've promised to me. I can go in peace. So this morning I want to give you a bit of a challenge. Wait and see. Wait and see. You see, it takes time. I'm going to pick up on what Penny shared. Okay? It's in the potter's hands. What happens when you get this lump of clay? Or when a potter, because there's no good giving it to me, it would be an awful mess. But they've got skills that most of us haven't got. They take this lump of clay, they throw it onto this wheel, and then they form it. But it doesn't happen just like that, does it? In our instantaneous society, we expect that when we press our iPad, that things will appear on the screen. And when it doesn't happen, it's annoying. We expect that if we press a button in McDonald's, that when we walk to the counter, our Happy Meal will be ready for us. But we don't expect that actually some things in life take a bit of time. And I think that maybe for somebody, as Penny has muted, you're being too impatient. It's in the potter's hand. He will do it in his time, just like in Mary's time, in Simeon's time, in Anna's time. They had these promises, and yet they had to wait and pray and fast until God revealed the right time and revealed his plan. So to coin a phrase that's been somewhat misused, there's something about Mary. Mary was favoured by God, according to Luke 1:28. The angel who visited Mary to tell her she was pregnant said this, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured." And I think that the church has misinterpreted that slightly. We've made it as though Mary is better than other women. We've made it so that the angel who was greeting Mary is saying to her, "Oh, you're better than everybody else." That is not the understanding that I think that we should have. I think the angel is acknowledging that Mary is going to be happy. Because let's be honest, which of us, if an angel came to visit us and told us we were going to have God's son, wouldn't be a little bit excited? And I think it's an acknowledgement of that fact. You have been chosen by God. You have been blessed by God. And I don't think there's anything wrong in that. I think it's wrong when we make Mary higher than other women. You see, Mary is one of the most popular figures in Christianity. Her power, her holiness have led hundreds to report apparitions, attributed miraculous events to her divine intervention, and make pilgrimages to sites and to statues devoted to Mary. I've got some examples for you. Since the first century, there have been over 2,000 visions of Mary that have been recorded. And of those, 16 have been officially recognised by the Vatican. In a small town in Ireland called Knock, there have been over 300 claims of miracles occurring that are attributed to Mary. And some 20 million people visit the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico each year. But what do we know of Mary? Well, actually, not a great deal. The main thing that we know about Mary surrounds her starring role in the Christmas narrative. Mary, the mother of Jesus. But here's the thing, and this is probably slightly unusual in the world at that time. Mary knew the scriptures really well. Mary was probably educated. How do we know that? Well, if you look at the song that Nicola read from Luke chapter 1, it's an improvisation. It's Mary taking bits of scripture, bits of the Bible, bits of the Septuagint, that's their Bible of that time. And she takes these and she makes this song, particularly using Hannah's prayer from 1 Samuel chapter 2. And she makes this song of gratitude to God. Now, we haven't made a big thing of it, and it's that time, I know, there is a special, apart from it being Sheila's birthday, there is another special event that's occurring this week, which is Mothering Sunday. Let's get it right, everybody. There is a difference, apparently. But yes, it's Mothering Sunday. What else has happened this week? Anything else to do with... Pardon? Rugby? Yeah, no, we're not talking about rugby.
International Women's Day.
Thank you. On Thursday, it was International Women's Day. Let me tell you a bit of a story. We met as a leadership team of this church in November last year. And we prayed and talked and sought God together. And we felt it appropriate to focus on people around the cross as we were leading up to Easter. And somehow the theme of Lent was talked about and fixed. I chose this book, which is called At the Cross, because we had in mind various aspects of the cross and what was occurring at that time. And without really realizing it, we got to this week. And the theme for this week, the person for this week, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And just like for Simeon and for Anna, maybe way back in November, the Holy Spirit was at work in that meeting, showing us, guiding us, even though we weren't aware of what was going on. That this week, International Women's Day, Mothering Sunday, and Mary in that mix. But there's something of a problem, okay? This whole thing, there's something about Mary. And it causes some issues. Because what's happened is the feminist movement, God bless them, have got a problem with Mary for various different reasons. One of them is that they think that Mary's presented as this lowly virgin. And they argue that Mary was abused by God. I want to challenge that. By the way, just think, I heard this on the radio this morning and I was gobsmacked. Waitrose, God bless them. Yes? You Sunday. Okay? Instead of Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day, it's going to be You Sunday because we don't want to offend anybody. Yeah. Anyway, rant aside. So we're going to challenge this idea. Okay? I want to tell you that Mary was a woman of courage. That Mary had strong character. That Mary spent time with God. She loved God and wanted to serve God with all of her heart. She was just this poor girl in an insignificant town from a humble family with little expectations that her life was going to be very different from anybody else. When suddenly this angel appears to her and tells her that she's been chosen by God to be the mother of God's son. And despite her own fear, because let's be honest, just like Mary might have been excited about being the mother of God, it must have been pretty scary sitting there or going about the daily routine when suddenly this angel appears. It doesn't happen every day, does it? It probably took the wind out of Mary's sails a little bit. Do you not think? Mary, you are chosen by God. Mary, you're not married, and in your society, if you have sex outside marriage, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be stoned. People are going to criticize you. People are going to ostracize you. People are going to talk behind your back and say that you're a slut. But I want you to know you've been chosen by God to be the mother of God. And what does Mary say? Mary says this: may your word to me be fulfilled. I will wait patiently for the things that you are telling me to happen. Mary continues to have great courage, even during Jesus' earthly life and ministry. Mary pressed Jesus to provide wine for the wedding in Cana. Mary approached Jesus and reproached Jesus when he was left behind in the temple. She went from Nazareth to Capernaum when she learned what was being reported there about Jesus. And she attempts to protect Jesus when in some of the stickiest situations, Jesus faces opposition. Mary, I believe, was a person of great faith. Mary was a disciple. In fact, I think that probably Mary was one of the first disciples. I think Mary got it before a lot of the other people did. We sing sometimes about this mild-mannered, subservient mother of Jesus. But the reality was that Mary was instrumental in Jesus' life. We've mentioned already, the wine's run out, Jesus. They've got no wine left. What's it got to do with me, Jesus says. But Mary goes to the servants and says, just do whatever he tells you to do. Mary is present at the crucifixion. She is given, John is given the responsibility of looking after Mary. She's present with the disciples in the days before Pentecost. And probably she was there in the ascension, in that moment when Jesus was raised up. I don't think she was insignificant. I don't think that she was just a vessel for the birth of Jesus. I think Mary was obedient. But I think that Mary, as the mother of Jesus, had a life of highs and lows and followed Jesus. Imagine these instances, these moments as Mary follows Jesus' life, these highs, these lows. Every time, pointing back to Jesus. You see, even in the moments after Mary has been told she's going to have God's son, the song that she sings, even in the encounter with Jesus at the temple, her intervention in the wedding at Cana, her standing at the cross, all of those things lead back to Jesus. Mary's not putting herself up there. Mary is not meant to be above other women. Mary is merely pointing back to Jesus and his mission of salvation. Her life was to witness his glory. And you can't help but admire her for that. I'm not taking anything away from the fact that Mary was an important part of the story. But Mary continued, even after Jesus' death and resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, 12 to 14, we read this. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were there together. Mary was there with the disciples. God bless mothers. You see, she waited. She was patient. She pieced these things together. She treasured these things in her heart. She watches Jesus. She follows him growing up. She holds these things in her heart. And then the prediction from Simeon and Anna. You're going to be cut like a dagger. That excruciating pain to watch your son dying on a cross. To not fully understand in that moment what was happening. To be confused. To grieve. To call out to God in pain. And then, early on that Sunday morning, full of joy, full of exaltation of God. Full of wonder at what God had done. So this morning I want to honour Mary, but I also want to honour all women, particularly in our church context, or in a church context if you're not from here. I believe in the priesthood of all believers. I am absolutely convinced that in Christ there is no difference between slaves and free, rich and poor, men and women. That we are all able to fulfill any task within the church setting that God has called us to do. You see, Mary, Simeon, and Anna were able to wait and see. They were able to pray. They were able to understand that maybe the potter was still at work. I wonder how good we are at waiting. How good are we at praying and fasting and holding on and saying, Lord, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. How good are we at waiting for God's timing? Or maybe the other question, how often do we say, Lord, you need to hurry up? How good are we at praying that God will move at just the right time? Are we willing to be faithful right to the end, even when we don't understand, even when we're not sure how God is working things out? Even when God doesn't do things right, because that's not the way that we planned it. Can we be like Mary and humbly say, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as God has planned. I'm wondering if it's possible to play that song again. That as we draw to a close, as we reflect on who Mary was, that in our own lives, maybe we should think about these words. Maybe we should reflect at this time as we listen to this song, Mary, Did You Know? It will start in a few moments, but please just sit quietly and reflect on what you've heard this morning. If that word applies to you, that you need to wait for the potter's hand, then hold on to that. If something else has touched you, then allow God to work. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you at this time. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Give sight to the blind man. Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you is is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding